Now we are going to read part of chapter 12 and part of chapter 13. In verse 1, 2, and 3 that we are going to read together, we have introduced to us the first great theophany of God to Abraham. And that theophany is in three parts, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. Let's read them together. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now verse 4, 5, and 6 gives us the results of that theophany, the effect it had upon Abram. Verse 4. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old, when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land, unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Now verse 7 gives to us the second great theophany that God gave to Abraham. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord who removed unto him, who appeared unto him. Now verse 8 and verse 9 gives to us the results of that second theophany, the effect that this second revelation had upon Abraham. Verse 8, And he removed from hence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now from verse 10, right through to verse 4 of chapter 13, we have the first great deflection of Abram. Verse 10 says, And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now let's please go to chapter 13. And verse 1. And Abram went up. Now you would notice in verse 10 of chapter 12, there was a famine in the land and Abram went down into Egypt. Now chapter 13 and verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich, in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And here ends the first deflection of Abraham. Now you'll have caught the vision, I'm sure, already of the ground that we are going to cover this evening. We are going to consider the first theophany of God to Abraham and the results of that theophany in verse 4 to 6. Then we'll consider the second theophany in verse 7 and the results that that had upon Abram in verse 8 and 9. And then we'll consider Abram's first deflection as he went out down into Egypt, but how in the end he was restored back to the very place where he departed from. So that's the ground that we are going to cover this evening. Yesterday afternoon, we introduced the background or the times of Abraham, the situations that arose, the crisis, out of which there emerged God's sovereign dealings in calling out one single man from Babylon to take him to Jerusalem. And yesterday afternoon we read the opening verses of Acts chapter 7, together with the first three verses of Genesis chapter 12, that introduces for us the first theophany, the only theophany that Abraham received outside the land of Palestine. And that first appearance was given to Abram when he was in Ur of the Chaldees, worshipping other idols in his father's house. And Stephen very remarkably introduces the subject of Abram with these words, "And the God of glory appeared unto Abram." Now that was the beginning of Stephen's great address. It is the longest address in the Acts of the Apostles, in fact one of the longest in the New Testament. And it's interesting how that Stephen began by bringing before us the God of glory. And then he ends in chapter 7 by directing our attention to the glory of God. He begins his chapter by introducing to us a man who was beginning his life for God, Abram. And he ends with a man who was finishing his life for God, Stephen. So we begin in Babylon, down yonder in Ur of the Chaldees, and we end in Palestine, in Jerusalem, where Stephen, being stoned to death, looked up and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. So that the compelling power that enabled Abram to respond to this vision was the fact that the glory of Babylon paled into insignificance before this momentous occasion that we cannot define nor describe, but simply to say that the God of glory appeared unto Abram. Now, when we relate these opening verses of Acts chapter 7 to the first three verses of Genesis chapter 12, we can immediately see the relationship between the two. For the first verse, we did note, didn't we, said these words, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram." And the only occasion that is recorded of the Lord speaking to Abram prior to Genesis chapter 12 is that recorded by Stephen in Acts chapter 7. So the God of glory appeared to Abram. And yesterday afternoon, very briefly, we followed the path of Abram right up the Fertile Crescent, that 900 mile, that long 4-month journey, until he eventually arrived in the land of Palestine. We saw also that Abram, like ourselves, was a man who was the object of the electing grace of God. He was no better than the other inhabitants of Babylon, but simply God, in his sovereign ways, selected Abram and called him out. That, of course, is where we all begin. We all begin as being the subjects and the objects of the sovereign electing grace of God. Now, Abram was to learn that the life to which he was called would be a very costly life. It would be a costly path that he would travel. And of course, you and I have to learn, even in the early days of our Christian life, that the Christian pilgrimage, like Abram, is no easy path. There will be problems, there will be difficulties. There will be times when we begin to wonder how we can relate the wonder of God's love with the circumstances through which we are passing. Now, Abraham went through all those feelings in his soul. There were many problems that he had to encounter. And we are going to consider some of these problems as we enter into this sanctuary and listen to God speaking to Abraham in this first theophany. Now, as we indicated, that in Genesis chapter 12, in the first three verses, we have three parts to this first theophany. Part 1 is in verse 1, part 2 in verse 2, part 3 in verse 3. In verse 1, we have brought before us the challenge to action. In other words, God said to Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." So there we have the first part of this theophany, the first part of this covenant that God was going to enter into with Abram. And the first part is the challenge to action. In other words, we might look upon it as the part that relates to divine separation. The second part relates to divine compensation. The third part in verse 3, we shall see, relates to divine consummation. So in verse 1, God said, "Abram, it's going to be a costly path." And he discusses that path with Abram and tells him it will be a path of divine separation. Three things are brought before us in that one verse. He says, "Get thee out, A, from thy country, B, from thy kindred, and C, from thy father's house." And so Abram was to begin to realize how costly the path of discipleship and pilgrimage was going to be. It would mean that if the claims of God run counter to the claims of earthly relationship, he had to take account of the superior claims that God made upon him. If it was difficult for Abram to give up his country, it was more difficult for Abram to give up his kindred. And the most difficult of all for Abram was to give up his family. And these are the three aspects of divine separation that Abram had to experience if he has to walk with God in that pilgrim pathway. And so we have the difficult, the more difficult, and the most difficult. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, the call of Christian discipleship and the call of Christian pilgrimage means that there are occasions when, as we listen to the word of the Lord, the challenge would come to our hearts tonight: if anyone love father, mother, brother, sister more than me, he cannot be my disciple. Not always, but at times, the challenge comes to the people of God: are we willing to put God first? And this was the first great test that Abraham had to undergo. Was he prepared, having caught the vision of the God of glory, was he prepared to leave his country, to leave his kindred, and to leave his father's house? And then he pauses at Haran until his father dies. He recognizes human relationships. And oftentimes we have to recognize our responsibility to human relationships. And he remained at Haran until his father died. And so the second great problem to his progress in Christian pilgrimage for him was now over, and he moves into the land of Palestine for the first time. So if in verse 1 we have the three parts associated with the challenge of divine action, when we come to verse 2, we have the challenge of divine promise. Abram, if you respond to me in that costly path, then I want to assure you, there will be a compensation. God will never be anyone's debtor. And from the challenge of action, divine separation, we come to the challenge of promise, divine compensation. Three things are said about that compensation in verse 2. I will make of thee a great nation. Secondly, I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thirdly, in thee shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. So that, first of all, God said to Abraham, Abraham, in relation to yourself, I will make of thee a great nation. In relation to your own personal experience, I will bless thee and make thy name great. And in your relationship to others, he says, and thou shalt be a blessing. Isn't God indicating to us here, if we as Christians in our pilgrimage with God is willing at all times to respond to the divine call, then God will be no man's debtor. There will be a compensation. Abraham, if you give up the land of Babylon, I'll give you another land. If you give up Babylon with that great name, I'll give you a great name. If you are willing to turn your back upon all the gains that Babylon could provide, then I will make you a real blessing. So in verse 1, the challenge of action. In verse 2, the call to promise. In verse 3, the character of blessing. And in that character of blessing, there are three things again said of God's promise to Abram. He says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. If in verse 1 it is divine separation, if in verse 2 it is divine compensation, in verse 3 it is divine consummation. If only Abram could have taken in the immensity of the implication of this promise, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Has that yet taken place? Of course it hasn't. 4,000 years almost have come and gone since God made this initial promise to Abram that in thee would all families of the earth be blessed. There will come a day when the nation of Israel will be gathered back to the land of Palestine, when God, Christ will come in all his millennial glory, and then, and only then, will the seed of Abraham be a means of blessing to all nations. Isn't it interesting that the very first Jew that God calls Abram, and the very first theophany that God gives to Abram, he looks right on to the ultimate goal of the nation and tells him here that in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And we ought to hold on to that. We ought to recognize and understand that one day this promise will be fulfilled. Israel will one day be the head and not the tail of the nations. So that as we are privileged to sit down and listen to this first great appearance of the Lord to Abraham, we have his past, his present, and the ultimate future of the nation of Israel wrapped up for us so neatly in three verses. Then we pause and we ask the question, Abram, how are you going to respond to this divine revelation? Well, kindly note that in verse 4 to verse 6, we have the results in the life of Abram to that first great revelation. And please notice what it says in verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. In other words, this verse is telling us that as Abraham listened and understood this first great appearance of God to him, he was going to render as a result prompt obedience to the call of God. That's the secret of these opening words in verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Abram very early is learning the secret. If he is going to live a life for God, he must recognize the importance of rendering prompt obedience to the word of God. And let me just say, and we haven't time to develop it, let me just say, my brothers and sisters, if we are going to be successful in our Christian lives, if we are going to read the word of God carefully and prayerfully, whatever others may say, we must render prompt obedience to the word of God. That was the first result of Abraham's interview with the Lord. God said, get out, leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your father's house. And Abram departed according to the word of the Lord. And of course you might say, and rightly so, well, if a man is so devoted and committed to God that he is going to promptly obey the word of God, then surely God will remove the problems before him. Surely God will honor him in this way. And yet, how many Christians can recognize this, that even though we obey the word of God, we can never claim exemption from problems? And so here was Abram. God said, get out. He goes out, and he discovers there are problems to be overcome. And now he departs from Haran in prompt obedience to the word of God. And we read these words in verse 5, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And so, as we indicated yesterday, the very first Jew to set foot upon the promised land was Abram. And here is the very moment when the first Jew left his footprint on the sands of Palestine. It says, into the land of Canaan they came. My, you might say, Abram's heart would be filled with joy, responding promptly to the word of God. God surely will remove all his enemies from him. What do we read in the end of verse 6? The Spirit of God would remind us, in these words, the Canaanite was then in the land. In other words, the Spirit of God would remind us that Christian life can be a very costly life. That obedience to the word of God is no guarantee of exemption from problems. And even though Abram promptly obeyed God, and came into the land of Canaan, and God could have removed in an instant the Canaanite from the land, but Abram comes face to face with one of the greatest enemies of the people of God, and he understands and realizes that the path of pilgrimage for him was going to be a very costly path. And so there ends the first great theophany, and the results that that revelation had upon Abram. Now in verse 7, we have the second theophany. Abram had the first. He responded to the pleasure of God. He had rendered prompt obedience. He faced the enemy and still remained in the land. And God in verse 7 comes a second time and reveals himself to Abram. And so the verse says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed," he had never mentioned seed before, "unto thy seed will I give this land." And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And so this is very clearly the second theophany, the second time that God revealed himself to Abram. And as he reveals himself to Abram in verse 7, three things emerge. He brings before Abraham three profound truths. First, the profound truth of a seed. Secondly, the profound truth of a land. And thirdly, the profound truth of a sacrifice. There, Abram built an altar unto the Lord. You might just call it, in simple words, the seed, the soil, and the sacrifice. And you know, when you begin here, and you have an overview of the scriptures right through to the book of the Revelation, you will find that God ever and always, in relation to his earthly people, and his covenant promise to that people, he always relates together the nation, the land, and the sacrifice. The nation, the seed of Abram, the nation of Israel. The land, Emmanuel's land, the land of Palestine. The altar, the sacrifice, the death of the Messiah. And so here we have the people, and we have the land, and we have the Messiah. And whether you take all the major or minor prophets of the Old Testament, they all converge that God never cancelled out this promise. That God's ultimate goal is that Abram's seed will possess the land on the basis of the sacrifice of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Abram listens, and he must have felt to himself, "Oh, I've got another problem." And we'll be talking about that probably tomorrow or Wednesday evening. You see, God said to Abram, "Unto thy seed. But Lord, Sarah is past age. And Sarah is barren. And this is a very major problem. And how is the Lord going to answer that problem?" Well, we shall see in later discussion. But God meant what he said, that Abraham was going to get a seed. And Abraham was guaranteed a land. And in his wisdom, he built an altar unto the Lord. So there we have in verse 7, the second great theophany. Now we might ask the question, what resulted from that theophany? We know what resulted after the first. There was prompt obedience to the word of God. There was facing the enemy eyeball to eyeball. Now God reveals himself again to Abram. And how is Abram going to respond to the second revelation? Well, you have it in verse 8 and 9. And there are three things emphasized if we note it very carefully. Verse 8, there is another movement on the part of Abram. He's going to respond to this revelation. What are the results? Look, "And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord." Now, here we have three things that Abram is going to enjoy. He sees Bethel for the first time.